And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. The Matthew Shepard bill, the so-called Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009, passed the House last week. A bill that, according to its terms, would allow the Attorney General of the United States to provide assistance in the criminal investigation or prosecution of any crime that constitutes a crime of violence, that is a felony under state law, and that's motivated by prejudice based on the actual or perceived race, color, religion, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, gender, identity, or disability of the victim. The bill has been around Congress for a very long time, but this time it's passed the House and has a decent chance to pass the Senate. My guest today opposes this legislation. His name is Pastor Bill Keller. He's the founder of LivePrayer.com, the world's largest interactive Christian website with over 2.4 million subscribers to his daily devotional. Pastor Bill Keller is no stranger to controversy. He has said, quote, a vote for Mitt Romney is a vote for Satan, unquote. He has challenged the Christian faith of President Barack Obama, and he said that Oprah Winfrey is dealing spiritual crack to the people that follow her, calling what she's leading as a misguided path to hell. So he certainly is no stranger to controversy, but today I want to focus primarily on his opposition to the hate crimes law. Pastor Keller, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Good to be with you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm good. So you are very much opposed to this legislation that passed the House and that is before the Senate right now. Tell me why.
Well, you know, on the surface, I'm not a fan of any of these hate crime bills, just for the simple fact that, you know, if somebody commits a crime, there's already statutes on the books to punish them. And I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Give a guy 5 life sentences instead of 2? So I'm not a big fan of any of this hate crimes legislation, but I'm particularly concerned about this newest addition that has been jammed through the House, is more or less going to sail through the Senate, and of course, King Obama will sign it into law, which is going to add basically homosexuals to the existing hate crimes legislation. And the reason is simply this. It's not because I'm in favor of violence against homosexuals. Matter of fact, I think anybody that commits violent acts against a homosexual or anybody should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. But what's going to happen is your radical homosexual lobby is going to use these laws to come after people like myself who simply speak out against the sin of homosexuality based on what the Bible preaches and teaches.
Okay, well, let's go through it. Let's take that argument piece by piece. First of all, as you know, Pastor, but maybe some of our listeners don't know, hate crimes laws are nothing new. The first hate crime statute dates back to 1968 and prohibits attacks, violent attacks, based on real or perceived race, national origin, color, or religion. Would you repeal those laws as well?
Again, I'm not a fan of any hate crimes legislation, just from the standpoint that, you know, if somebody commits an act of violence against somebody else, there's already existing statutes to punish them, and they should be to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, let's talk about the difference between, let's say, violence and a hate crime. And we'll get to your question of free speech. We're going to get to that, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. Let's just deal with the basic difference. I can think of 2 main examples. One doesn't involve a crime of violence and, indeed, probably isn't covered by this statute. But do you see a difference between going to someone's lawn and burning, let's say, a log on their lawn? That's wrong. That's arson. It's a misdemeanor. It burns to the ground. You may have damaged the property. You may cause, $100 in reseeding costs to reseed the grass. Do you see a difference between doing that on your neighbor's lawn and burning a cross on your neighbor's lawn, serving as a time-honored warning to African-Americans that your lives are in danger, get out of the neighborhood? Is there any difference in your mind between burning a log on someone else's property and burning a cross on someone else's property?
Well, again, there are existing statutes on the books that is going to punish somebody for an act of arson or whatever you want to, you know,
right.
call it against another
you
person.
You view those crimes as effectively the same. That it makes no difference in your mind whether or not you go to someone's property and you burn a log, or whether or not you burn two logs, I say, and or go to someone's property and make those two logs in the form of a cross and set it on fire as a signal, as a warning to African Americans that you're in danger. You see no difference between those two acts?
Obviously, there's no doubt that there's some hate that motivated both of those incidents. You don't go burn a log on somebody's lawn unless you've got some very ulterior motives to do so. And
maybe the log is sort of in your way. You don't like that there's a bunch of bugs on the log that are getting on your property. So you burn the log. It's not right, but you don't see any really major difference between doing that and the other thing I described.
Again, you've got laws in the books to protect people's property. You've got laws in the books to punish people for violating somebody's property and for committing heinous acts against another individual. Charge them under those laws and then punish them to the fullest extent.
Okay. Let me ask you about a crime of violence then. Let's say that, and this happens all the time in schools, two boys get in a fight, or maybe let's say four boys pick on one boy, and they beat him hard, they beat him till he's bleeding, lying on the ground crying. That's one thing. It's a horrific, horrible thing. And let's say that the exact same crime occurs. They beat the kid to a pulp, but at the same time they shout slurs. Slurs that I really don't want to say on my radio show, but I will because I think that the power of the slur is very powerful. Let's say they shout nigger or they shout faggot and they say, get the hell out of our school. We are going to kill you, nigger. We're going to kill you, faggot.
Yeah.
Do you think that the latter crime where they're shouting these things and a bunch of black students are watching or a bunch of gay students are watching and are afraid is any different from simply beating up a boy?
If you're beating somebody up, whether you're shouting at them or not, you've got laws on the books. Punish them with the laws that are on the books. You can't go beat somebody up whether you're screaming, the N-word, the F-word, or any other word at the guy. You can't beat a person up no matter what you're screaming at the guy. So just punish them according to the law.
Well, but let me ask you this. If you have a child, let's say you have a child that's black. If your child is black and goes to that school and watches a kid being beaten up, he may feel very bad for the kid. He may want to see the people who are beating him up being punished, but he has no reason to personally be afraid. But if they see the exact same incident, they see the kid being beaten up and they hear, we're going to kill you, nigger. We're going to kill any nigger that comes into our school. We're going to make sure all of you die. We're coming after you. Get out now. Your child might have much greater reason to be afraid and might not come to school that day. And in fact, you might not advise your child to come to school that day. The first child, you got beaten up and you feel really bad about it. But the second incident, simply by shouting the hatred, doesn't that scare all the other kids in the school? Isn't it a greater crime?
Why should the people that perpetrate this crime be charged to the fullest extent of the law? I mean, again,
But my question is, should the law punish the second crime more than the first?
No. You've already got existing laws on the books to punish people for committing crimes. It's like the gun laws. Every time there's an incident, they want to bring new gun laws in. Let's do this with the guns. Let's do that with the guns. The bottom line is we've got a million gun laws. Just enforce the laws on the books to the fullest extent. You don't need more gun laws.
Pastor Keller, let me ask you this. Many African-Americans talk about the history of lynching in America. And they would argue that lynching is different from murder, that there's a difference between killing a man and hanging a man in prime sight after saying that, let's say, he whistled at a white woman and saying, let this be a lesson to all of you boys to act the way you're supposed to act. Do you see any difference between a murder and a lynching?
Let me ask you a question. If you kill a black man, okay. If a white man kills a black man and he screams racial epithets while he's doing it, and he takes him and ties into the back of this truck. It happened in Texas, James Byrd,
right.
and drags
right.
him around the street. Okay? All right.
Right.
Those people got multiple life sentences for their crime, as they should have. And as a matter of fact, they even got the one guy got the death penalty. Okay, perfect. That's the way they should. All adding the hate crimes element to it did was give the guy three life sentences. What's the difference between one life sentence and three? He's not ever getting out anyway. Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, you've got laws.
Well, for murder, you're right. For murder, you're right. But, of course, there are many beatings that don't count for murder. But I would like you to answer my question, because I think the mindset helps my listeners understand where you're coming from. I think what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that killing a person, whether it be a black person or white person, a man or a woman, whether it be a domestic dispute or whatever, that's murder. That's awful. And lynching a black man in public and saying, all N-word, get out of our town, are equivalent crimes. A lynching is no worse than a murder, and in fact, we probably shouldn't even mention it in our museums because, frankly, there have been more murders in America than lynching. It's the same thing.
It is murder. It is murder.
And it's only a murder. And it's only a murder. It's not meant as a lesson. It's not meant as a sign. It's not meant as a signal. No black person should be scared about a lynching because a lynching is the same as a murder.
It's a heinous act from one man against another. There are laws in the books to punish people who commit those heinous acts, and they should be punished to the fullest extent of the law.
Let me ask you this, sir. Let's say your kids are in a school where the majority are not Christian, and there are areas of this country where the majority are not Christian, and your kids see someone beaten up at the school. Well, I'm sure they'd be upset by that. Now let's say that the people, let's say they're Muslim, and they say, as they're beating up this kid, we are beating you up because you're Christian, and we're going to take out every Christian. We're going to beat every Christian up. Is that a crime only against the person they're beating up, or is it also a crime against your son or your daughter who is now scared for his or her life because the people doing the beatings have made it clear that they're not just going to attack that one person. They're going to attack everybody. Did you see how that might scare your child a lot more than simply beating up someone because, hey, fights occur in schoolyards?
Those people should be punished to the fullest extent of the law, period. And by the way, that's...
But you're not answering my question. Do you think your child would be more scared in the second circumstance than in the first circumstance? Or do you think they'd be equally scared?
If they're in such a situation, then that's the role of the parent to determine whether their child's safe in that environment or not.
Okay, but you could see how your child would be more scared if there were a group of Muslims going out saying, we're going to attack any Christian that's around. You could see how that would be a lot more scary to a child than simply watching a kid being beaten up in the schoolyard. You could understand that, right? I mean, that's not an extreme thing to think, is it?
Of course not, Mark. Like I said, there's laws on the books to punish people for crimes that they commit. And if we just follow the laws, punish people for the crimes, that's
right, and what you're saying is this is, see, what we're not talking about, whether or not crimes of violence should be against the law. The argument I'm trying to make is that, as you have recognized, a crime where you attack someone and make it clear that you're attacking them because of their religion, because of their race, because of their sexual orientation, is not only a crime against that victim, it's a crime against every single person of that race, or sexual orientation or religion who watches that, because now they have reason to be afraid. It's the difference, I would suggest, between a terrorist act. Well, hold on, let me finish, and then I'll let you respond. The difference between a terrorist act and a murder. Murders are awful, but terrorism is worse. And the reason why terrorism is worse than murder is because people get killed all the time, but a terrorist is designed to make everyone terrorized. It's designed to say, not just we killed this poor innocent civilian here, but we are trying to make all of you afraid that we're going to act again. And I would suggest to you that the difference between an ordinary murder and a terrorist crime is the same difference between a ordinary crime of violence and a hate crime of violence. One crime of violence is directed at that victim, but a hate crime is directed at an entire group of people and is therefore a greater crime and a greater danger to our society.
All acts of violence are a hate crime, okay? You don't commit an act of violence, one man against another, unless you hate them, regardless of what your purpose for hating them is. It's all a
really?
Hate crime.
A drunken brawl at a bar where a couple guys take swings at each other is equivalent
Absolutely.
To pummeling a kid because he's the only black kid in school? That's equivalent,
sure.
Really?
They're all hateful crimes, absolutely.
No difference. You know, the law makes all kinds of distinctions. We have first-degree murder and second-degree murder. If you kill someone while drinking and driving, that's an awful, horrendous thing, but it's not the same as first-degree murder, and it won't put you get you the death penalty. We understand that first-degree murder and killing someone while drunk driving both involve killing a man, both involve doing wrong things, but the law ascribes greater guilt to a premeditated murder than it does to killing someone while drinking and driving. What is wrong with the law saying that if you do your killing or your crime of violence as an intent to harm an entire group of people, that is a greater crime and we're going to punish you more severely?
Your argument's crazy, Mark. You know, you want to say that if somebody's beating the crap out of somebody because they happen to be, happen to choose a certain perverted form of sex, then that's a crime against everybody who chooses that perverted form of sex. That is a specious argument. It doesn't hold water and it doesn't make sense.
Well, does it hold water with race?
It doesn't make sense. An entire race isn't going to be afraid of one person just because of their hatred action towards somebody of that race. If somebody commits an act of violence, prosecute them under the fullest extent of the law. And, there's already statutes on the books to deal with people under those conditions.
You know, Pastor Keller, I have you ever been to a majority non-Christian country?
Been to many, sir.
Like Turkey, for example, or
let me tell you something. I know more about persecution than most people ever understand.
Right. A lot of Christians have been horrifically persecuted, no question about it.
Yeah.
Do you see how, if you were a Christian in, you could pick any country you like, in a majority Muslim nation, how the difference between a Christian kid that just gets beaten up and a Christian kid that gets beaten up by some group that says, we're going to get all you Christians and cause them by some pejorative name. Do you see why that might scare an entire Christian community living in a Muslim country?
Well, number one, if you're a Christian living in a Muslim nation, you already understand going in because you understand the nature of Islam. You know it's their desire and their goal to either convert or kill any non-Muslim. So, I mean, you already understand that going in. You're not blind to that.
What's going to happen with these new laws aren't designed to protect a special group of people as much as they are designed to stifle the free speech of people like myself who happen to believe that the Bible says that, homosexuality is a sin.
Okay, if you believe that homosexuality is a sin, but you don't act in violence against gay people, how does this law harm you?
Well, here's what's going to happen, and I'll give you a personal anecdote to support this. What's going to happen is they are going to, the radical homosexual agenda that's very powerful in this nation, that now has been emboldened because you have the most gay-friendly president that we've ever had in the nation, they are going to basically say that people like myself who speak out against this sin strictly from the Bible, teaching and preaching what the Bible says about this sin, are using our speech to incite people to hatred and violence against homosexuals, even though they will not have any legitimate, substantiated cases of this happening. This is the argument that they're going to use to try to silence people like myself. Give you a great case in point. I did a live TV program for 5 years in Tampa, Florida, the number 12 TV market in the nation, on the CBS affiliate. It was live 5 nights a week. It's kind of like O'Reilly, Hannity, and Combs, only from a biblical worldview. I obviously, as a Christian, take a firm stand against any false religion, including the false religion of Islam. Islam, out there, they have a self-appointed watchdog group called CARE. You may be familiar with them, Council of Arab Islamic Relations. They are a very suspicious organization. They're kind of a self-appointed watchdog to go after any media personality, people like myself, Michael Savage, anybody else, who speaks out against the religion of Islam. They targeted me for years and eventually intimidated CBS into pulling my program. What actually happened
you weren't prosecuted, Pastor, were you? I mean, you weren't brought into court and charged with a hate crime, were you?
No. I'm just giving you a great analogy to what's going to happen, though.
Pastor, what they did, look, I mean, I believe in free speech. I strongly believe in free speech. they disagree with your speech. They got CBS to pull your show off the air. I'm not approving of that. But I assume that you, at the same time, have gone to CBS or ABC or any other and said, I don't like this speech. Pull this show off the air. I don't, frankly, like anybody pulling any show off the air. But I don't see what that has to do with hate crimes legislation.
First of all, I've never done that. I don't believe in that. I believe in the free market of ideas. I believe in going into the marketplace and competing for people's hearts and minds, with the freedom of speech. I don't try to pull
programs
because I disagree with them. However, what the analogy is this. The same thing is going to happen when I go out and speak against the sin of homosexuality, even if it's just simply from the Bible. You're going to have radical homosexual groups out there who are going to put pressure on the government to prosecute me for violation of this new hate crimes legislation, and their argument's going to be my speech is inciting the masses to violence against homosexuals. That's exactly how this is going to be morphed.
I have a copy of the bill in front of me, here's my question. The bill really just amends a prior existing bill, that prohibits hate crime. You're right. It adds sexual orientation and disability and gender identity. But it basically adds, under the same language as has existed since 1968, against race, religion, and national origin and color. And here's my question. Can you tell me whether anyone has been prosecuted under this hate crimes bill, the one that exists right now before adding it, based solely on speech? For example, the Ku Klux Klan goes out there right now and says horrific things against black people, awful, hateful things. I think we can be clear. They say hateful things against black people. But I don't know of a single example where anyone in the Ku Klux Klan, no matter what they said about black people, was prosecuted unless they actually committed a crime of violence. And I would think that no matter what you say against gay people or homosexuality or so forth, it would apply the exact same way. The law only prohibits violence. So why would it harm your speech?
Well, the same existing laws are in the books in Canada, Sweden, and several other European countries. You've got pastors right now in Canada and Sweden who've been prosecuted under their hate crimes laws for simply preaching from the Bible about the sin of homosexuality. You've got to understand something, Mark. You've got a very radical homosexual lobby out there that is very emboldened right now because they've got Obama as president, and they're going to be very active in pursuing this. Look at what happened to Miss California. I mean, here's a beauty pageant contestant who basically stated what...
She wasn't prosecuted.
I understand that, but here's the point. She's basically did nothing but state what most people have believed to be traditional marriage, and she has been absolutely savaged by the homosexual lobby that's out there to the point where they have now gone up, dug up photos from her 3 years ago. They went and got her medical records.
Bill, what does this have to do with the hate crime bill? You and I both agree on free speech, right? There's all kinds of people saying all kinds of things that I find horrific. All across America, there are people exercising their right of free speech, criticizing people I don't think should be criticized, attacking people I don't think should be attacked, saying all kinds of things, hateful things that I wish weren't said, but I recognize and support and will defend their free speech right to say it, whether they're criticizing gay people or whether they're criticizing Christians, whether they're criticizing Miss California, whether they're criticizing gay activists. That is your right. And it seems to me what you're complaining about, sir, is not the hate crimes legislation. You're complaining about other people exercising their free speech, opposing your right of free speech. Isn't that what America's all about?
No, Mark, not at all. I could care less. People could have the right to go out and speak their minds freely. I'm telling you that this is a new day, that this legislation is going to give these folks an opportunity to try to stifle the free speech of people like myself, and I just pray that in a year or so you'll have me back on, because it is going to happen, and you're going to see a whole new landscape out there once this bill is enacted. I promise you. You watch it. I know how these people operate. I know their motives. I know how they operate. You watch what they do when this gets passed into law.
Pastor, I'll be happy to have you on in a year. I think you're frankly worried about nothing. But okay. but here's how I make my case. This law, with regard to black people, to race, national origin, and religion, by the way, would protect Christians as well, has, and Jews and Muslims and everyone else, and atheists as well, has been on the books since 1968. Can you give me a single example of anyone that has ever been prosecuted under this law who has not committed a crime of violence but merely has spoken out? Because I know of no such example. Give me some examples, and maybe your case will be more persuasive.
Well, like I said, you've got examples in Canada with the same existing legislation in Canada.
It's not the same law. I mean, I can't speak for Canada. I haven't read the Canadian legislation. I don't know what it says. Canada doesn't have the first amendment. I'm talking about the law as it exists in the United States of America since 1968. If it hasn't been misused in the last 40 years, why do you think it'll be misused in the next year?
Because you've got a very radical homosexual lobby out there that is very aggressive, and they are out to silence and stifle anyone who speaks out against their perverted choice of sexual orientation. And trust me when I tell you, this is coming, this is going to happen, and, you know, you may think it's just the little boy crying wolf, but I'm telling you, it's already happened in Canada, it's happened in Sweden, and it's going to happen here. Mark my word, once this gets passed into law, they are going to come after people who openly preach against the sin of homosexuality under this very statute. They're going to try to morph this into a speech situation, and the argument they're going to make is that by speaking out against this sin, we are inciting people to violence and hatred towards people of that perverted sexual orientation.
But, Pastor, to be clear, you can't cite an example, and if you can, I'd like to hear it, but you can't cite an example of where this law, which has existed for 40 years, has ever been used to punish someone for speech alone.
And again, once this is passed,
you think it will be, and you fear it will be, but you can't. Basically, what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is you don't think judges will enforce this law as written. You fear that this law will pass, and the law very clearly only prohibits crimes of violence, but you fear that judges will ignore the law and punish people solely for speech, even though they've never done it in the past, and even though it's not in the text of the law, you still fear they'll use the passage of the law to arbitrarily throw people who preach against homosexuality in prison. Is that what you're saying?
How many renegade judges are out there now doing the legislating from the bench? Absolutely. The homosexual lobby has been masterful at finding renegade judges to overturn the will of the people. I mean,
and they don't need this law at all. Right? If their goal is simply to throw people who hate gay people in jail, why, and they're not going to follow the actual law, then they don't need the law. They can just go around and then start rounding up people, right? I mean, come on, Pastor. I think judges try to follow the law.
Once this law is on the books, it's going to give them a new lever to come after people who speak. Mark, again, I'm just telling you what's happened in Canada. Once the same legislation was passed up there, what's happened in Sweden.
Tell me what happened in Canada.
Pardon me?
Tell me what happened in Canada. You're telling me that someone went to jail solely for speech?
You've had three pastors so far who have been thrown into jail and prosecuted under Canada's hate crimes legislation, identical to what we're... Listen... This is the
identical? You're telling me Canada had the identical law and they put people in jail for it? Because this law doesn't prohibit speech.
Absolutely. Google it up. It's there. It's wide open.
In the law, Section 8 of this actual law, the law that you oppose so strongly, it says, and this is a direct quote, "Nothing in this act or the amendments made by this act shall be construed to prohibit any expressive conduct protected from legal prohibition by, or any activities protected by, the Constitution." You know, I would argue that was even unnecessary because the Constitution is bigger than any statute anyway. But the law specifically says you can, I mean, I don't know, in America, and again, I'll try to look up and see in a break what happened in Canada, but I don't, you know, I don't claim to know how Canadian law works. I know how American law works. Canada doesn't have a First Amendment. We do. So one big difference is that our First Amendment protects speech, and I support the First Amendment. I support even allowing the Nazis to speak, even though I completely abhor what they say. They have a right to preach their hatred. The KKK has a right to preach their hatred. Everyone has a right to say whatever they want as long as they don't actually cause violence here in the United States. But the law itself says that you can't go to jail merely for speaking. And I'll tell you this, Pastor. If this law passes, I will be the first one by your side. The moment anyone goes to jail solely for speaking, no one should ever go to jail. So, I mean, there are crimes like, you know, shouting fire in a crowded theater. I mean, I know that, but you know, simply preaching hate and not doing a hateful act should never be a crime. And I think you and I both agree on that.
Well, and again, it was interesting because I actually watched the debate on the House floor when this was in committee, and one proponent after another of this bill was standing up there screaming, "This isn't meant to silence people. This isn't meant to silence." They already know what this is going to be used for. They already know, and they sat there one after another. Oh, this won't be used to silence people's free speech, blah, 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 blah. I mean, because the line's already been drawn in the sand. I mean, they've been trying to jam this thing through now for the last 4 or 5 years. They couldn't get it done because they didn't have the numbers before. They've got the numbers now. They knew Bush would never sign this garbage into legislation. They know they've got a friend who will now. And I'm telling you, this is the newest lever that the pro-homosexual lobby in this nation's going to use to try to silence their critics. Hey, listen, they've already done a great job. Let me just say this, Mark. You've already got a generation of gutless pastors out there now who are scared of their own shadow. Between the ACLU, between people like Barry Lynn and Americans United for Separation of Church and State and all these other watchdog groups, you've already got a generation of gutless pastors who are scared to death to even open the Bible and preach anymore.
I'll tell you have pastors today that don't even preach racism anymore. You have pastors today that are scared to preach racism because if they preach that blacks are inferior, people will think they're hateful. But you know what? You can still preach that blacks are inferior, and you don't go to jail for it.
Wait. Who would preach blacks are inferior? All men are created equal. Why would anybody preach out of the Bible blacks are inferior?
Well, that's what the KKK says. That's what preachers in the South certainly said for many, many years. And I support their right to say it.
Mark,
I don't think it's right, but I support their right to say it.
Mark, don't even try to lump me in with that kind of garbage because that is pure garbage. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches all men are created equal, black, white, yellow, green. It's not this color of our skin that matters. It's the content of our heart. And God could care less what your race is. God cares about your heart. So, I mean,
I appreciate your view of the Bible, and we can talk about the Bible if you want. But my question is really one under the law. And I've written legislation before. I used to work in Congress, and I am a lawyer. And one of the things that you look at when you're writing either a piece of legislation or you're acting as a trial lawyer is you look at the legislative history. In fact, it's something that even the conservative justices and the liberal justices agree on, that you look and you see what was in congressional intent when they passed this bill. Now, you just mentioned, Pastor Keller, all the people who support this bill saying it won't be used to punish speech alone. It won't be used to punish speech alone. And what's amazing to me is I think you think that they have a secret agenda, that even though they say it, the majority, you know, 90% of the Democrats and 10% of the Republicans, they say it, that they don't believe it, that they secretly want to throw pastors in jail, and that you think that judges also won't follow the law and won't follow the legislative history and will completely ignore the words on the page and throw people in jail. And what's amazing to me is, first of all, they've never done this before under the exact same legislation. You haven't given me an example. And you seem to basically say everyone is lawless and they're just looking for an excuse to throw pastors in jail. And I say if everyone's lawless, then they don't have to follow the law right now. They could just throw people in jail. I do think you're crying wolf.
Well, I guess we'll find out one, my friend.
Yeah, I guess we will. But at the heart of it is, why don't you oppose something where the law actually harms you? I mean, that's the thing that I don't get. There are real harms out there. You yourself admitted that you do see a difference, and you can take it back if you want, but you said that you see a difference between merely beating up a kid, which is an awful thing, and using the attack on that child to scare an entire group of people, whether they be blacks or Christians or gays or atheists or Muslims or anybody else. I mean, you see that difference, right? You just don't think that they should be punished extra for it.
Any attack on any person's a frightful thing. Come on, Mark.
Right, but you don't see, do you or do you not see a difference between a drunken bar fight and a guy that has said, I'm going to assault all black people. Do you see a difference there? Do you see a difference between someone who kills one person and someone who tries to terrorize an entire community?
Well, if a guy's out to terrorize an entire community, then he's obviously got a premeditated mindset to do so, and there's laws on the books to deal with him.
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Sure. If you beat up someone and you shout a racial epithet, right now, yeah, there is this hate crimes law, but without this hate crimes law, there would be no distinction between that and a drunken bar fight where you beat somebody up.
Mark, I'm not going to sit here and argue the law with you. I'm trying to explain to you what's going to happen. You don't seem to buy it. That's fine.
I know
how the radical homosexual agenda in this nation has unfolded over the last 30 years with the brainwashing of kids in schools and the whole nine yards. This is just the latest piece. The homosexual lobby has been pushing for this hate crimes legislation for the last 7 years. They could never get it through.
And there's no way they could ever modify it or amend it.
Don't forget who's pushing this legislation. Don't forget who's pushing this legislation through. And they're doing it for a reason and a purpose.
Right, right. No, gay people are pushing this through because they don't want the kids beaten up. I know why they're pushing it.
Give me a break. You know, everybody wants to point to Matthew Shepard. That's the name of this thing. Let me tell you something. What about homosexuals that go beat up straight kids? I mean, come on, man.
If a homosexual gang decides that they're going to beat up straight kids and they shout, "Straighty, straighty, we're going to get all of you," then they should be prosecuted under the same hate crimes bill. The same is true with blacks who go after whites or Muslims who go after Christians or any other minority. Absolutely.
Just prosecute them, period, like you do any criminal.
Right, because you don't, in essence, don't see a difference between a murder and a lynching. But I'll tell you what, I want to get my callers in on this. You and I have been at it for a while. I do want to give them a chance to give their two cents. And Bob is on the line. Bob, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hello, Pastor.
What's your thought on Pastor Keller?
Hey, buddy.
Well, I wanted to let you know, Pastor, how they're brainwashing the children in my kids' school. Because they're brainwashing them, all right.
Mm-hmm.
The children there were brainwashed to be so tolerant of gay people that the little children who are several little children who are in church every Sunday got my little boy on the ground last year and kicked him until his genitals swelled up to about five times their size, all the while hollering, "Faggot, faggot, faggot, faggot." These are good little Christian children, Pastor.
Well, they should be prosecuted.
Are they being prosecuted, Bob? Because one of the things this legislation would do is would allow the federal government to step in when state governments are not prosecuting crimes of violence. Were these kids prosecuted?
No, they weren't prosecuted, Mark, because, see, a few years ago, our attorney general tried to get a bullying program in the schools here in West Virginia, and the family values people came in and said no. We can't have that bullying program because it tells children not to beat the snot out of people because they think they're queer.
Hey, Bob, first of all, I don't condone or justify violence against anybody. No Christian does. So you're talking
those Christians did, Pastor.
Those kids were not taught any Christian values if that's in fact what happened.
Pastor,
okay?
They are in the Southern Baptist Church every Sunday and every time the door opens. Their parents are pillars of the community, and they stomped my son, who is not gay, but happens to be well-spoken and talented, and they got him on the ground, and they drove their feet into him, Pastor, in the name of your Savior.
Oh, go, okay. Freaking Bob, come on, man, don't be an idiot.
Don't call me an idiot, mister. I've got about 100 IQ points better on you, and I know your type.
Oh, okay, great.
You are a minister of hate. You are a viper.
Oh, okay.
You are poisonous.
Sure.
You are what's wrong with this country. See, the problem is, you're so filled with hate, you are the antithesis of the Prince of Peace.
Right.
And what happens, Minister, is that you want to hate people so much, contrary to the words of the living Christ.
Really? Really? Hey, Bob.
That you're all wrapped up in Old Testament hate.
Hey, Bob, how many homosexual men and women have you ministered to and helped get out of that lifestyle in the last week? We help about 300
people. You can't cure homosexuality because it is not a disease.
It's a choice.
It is not a choice. When did you choose to be straight, Pastor?
You don't have to choose to be normal.
You just said it was a choice, you hypocrite.
You have to choose to be perverted, not to be normal.
And you are a perverter of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the devil and his angels await you.
Good night, Bob.
Bob, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your...
Remember my son, Pastor, the next time you're saying that the Christians have the right to stomp the life out of children. Remember someone else, Pastor. Remember 11-year-old Carl Joseph Walker Hoover, who was bullied and screamed faggot at until he hung himself with his own belt at the age of 11, you demon. You are a monster. You are a right-wing fundamentalist, monster, and perverter of Christ. And I loathe you, and I am going to be glad to be in paradise, and I'm going to tease you with ice cubes at the gates of hell.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for your call. But listen, Pastor, Bob's anger is real. I mean, there's no question he's very angry, and he's angry because he's the son.
If somebody beat up his kids, then he should go take it to the authorities.
But what if the authorities won't act? Pastor, one of the things that this bill does is it allows the federal government to act when state authorities do not. We all know there are places all across America where you have local officials, and frankly some of them are in the South, where you have a hate crime occur and nobody does anything. The whole reason we have civil rights legislation was to protect African Americans when they were being beaten up and lynched. You know, there are federal anti-lynching laws. You could say they're not necessary either because, well, Alabama already has anti-murder laws. Sometimes you have to call in the feds when the states don't do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
First of all, this caller is so off the wall, okay? I mean, basically...
Tell me how off the wall I am, Pastor.
You're off the wall, buddy. You're off the wall. You're a lunatic, that's why.
And tell me why I'm a lunatic.
Name doesn't help. It doesn't help either side. Pastor,
tell me why I'm a lunatic, Pastor. We have all kinds of laws all over the United States that enhance penalties for criminal action. We have, for instance, possession with intent to deliver drugs. Now, the possession is a crime, and the mental intent to deliver the crime enhances the punishment, just like the mental intent to harm someone because they are perceived to have sex differently than how you want them to have sex is an enhancement in this instance.
Here's your question, Bob. Do you view homosexuality as a sin or not, yes or no?
Do I? I believe it's none of my business.
Yes or no?
No, I do not.
Then I suggest you go pick up the Bible and go read it.
I've forgotten more of the Bible than you know, Pastor.
Oh, right. Okay, sure.
Pastor, I can tell you, for instance, that Jesus Christ never said a word about homosexuality.
Mark, here's what we've got. We've got a homosexual activist. It's called in your program.
Did you just call me gay?
I think he did, Bob. Bob is saying he had a son that was beaten up, and his son isn't gay, but they beat him up anyway, and they called him a faggot. That doesn't mean it's funny.
Pastor, I want to kiss you real good.
They're trying to make an argument. He's making the homosexual...
I want to snuggle with you, Pastor.
Bob, let me ask you a question.
I want to get all naked and roll around with you because I'm a gay homosexual activist.
I don't think Bob is gay. I think Bob... Pastor Keller. I think
he's scared. I'm sorry, Mark, but when he started with that perversion bit and started on the Muslims,
oh God!
No, I'm sorry. You were real nice to him, but somebody had to be mean to him, Mark.
I was trying to let him hang himself.
You've got a caller who wants to join.
Okay, let's get another caller.
Let's get Vince on.
Hi,
Vince.
Hey. Did he leave?
Yeah, he ran away.
I think Bob scared him away. I managed to keep him on the line. But Bob, Bob.
Oh, yeah. I'm disappointed, guys. I mean, I had a mouthful for this guy. This dwarf. I'm going to give it anyway. Just in case.
Go right ahead, Vince. Please.
When I was growing up, I went to a school that lived in a very high-priced aloof area. We're talking gated community and whatnot. My parents happened to know some people who lived in the area who let us rent a place for a lot cheaper than the market going right now, because, you know, this was at the tail end of the 80s. My dad had been completely decimated by the, you know, Ronnie Reagan's little policies and whatnot. But that's neither here nor there. The simple fact of the matter is that my dad needed a job. He got a job. We needed a place to live. There wasn't one. We were given one, and I moved into a very high-priced area. And as a result, I, of course, was an outcast for many different reasons, and I got the whole faggot routine. I got teased and treated like a piece of garbage. And may I also state that I am not homosexual. I am straight. I've been married for 4 years.
The nice thing about this law, actually, is it protects against actual or perceived. You don't have to be gay, but the interesting thing about
if a straight person is attacked for
being gay, it still scares all gay people. It's because that was the point I was trying to make with him, that a hate crime is more than an attack on the victim. It's an attack on the entire community.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I'm linking up with that actually in the story.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. Go ahead. I interrupted you. So
the point. The point I was trying to make was that, you know, I was basically bullied and beaten and, you know, put into a position where, you know, my mom actually, you know, was so scared for me that not only did she try and send me to a different school district that worked out somewhat, but, you know, I actually ended up having to see a mental health professional for several years. Mm. And that was
terrible.
My choice. That was my parents decided to do that to me. I think it did me so good. But let me tell you a story about a friend of mine. His name is Dave. And I met him when I was in fifth grade, and Dave was about the only friend I had because I was too much of a faggot for anybody to pay any attention to me, never mind that I was or wasn't. That simply was the perception. Mm-hmm. We met before we were young enough to really form sexual identities. That really doesn't happen until you're in your teens. But me and Dave, you were both similarly outcasts. The big thing that people made fun of him for was because of his weight. And that kid was one of the smartest people I know. To this day, he is one of the smartest people that I know. And as we got older, and as we started to get into that, you know, teenage years where you do start finding your sexual identity, Davey came to realize that he was gay. So, you know, not only did, you know, we have this situation where I was not gay and treated this way, but he actually was. And they bullied him so badly. They bullied him so relentlessly and beat him until he was bloody and put him in the hospital and broke his arm and did this to the point, you know, where to this day he cannot hold a normal job. To this day he is still living with his mom, who initially wouldn't even talk to him, but then eventually came to realize that she loved her son more than that. Thank God. But still, to
you know,
this day,
it happens,
have less
so
than
often.
A smooth relationship. And this happened, Pastor, if you're still listening, because of people like you who sit here and think that this is some way acceptable, who feel that, you know, because of somebody's sexual orientation, that they are somehow less deserving of the word of God and the love of Jesus, who sit there and tell you that you don't treat people like this. Pastor, if you are still listening, although I doubt because you already ran away like the coward that you are.
You know, Vince, I've only had two people hang up on me in 6 years of radio. That was the second time. The first was actually David Horowitz several years ago when he couldn't abide by the fact that I played his clip back at him when he was calling Democrats communists. But that's neither here nor there. Look, here's the thing that I think was accomplished here. And some people wonder why I bring people like Pastor Keller on my show. First of all, he had to concede I was right on the law, and that was very interesting. We went through all the legal things. There's a reason why I spent 30 minutes on this. I went through, I read to him the law, and he basically had to say, all right, the law doesn't harm anyone. I can't give any example in 40 years, because it's the exact same law. It was applied to race. It's just adding sexual orientation, where anyone has ever gone to jail for speech alone. But, you know, they did it in Canada with a completely different law, because Canada has different laws. They did it in Sweden, you know, and I'm scared. Well, he basically had to admit that he was afraid that a law would be passed, and that even though the law says he wouldn't be harmed, and even though everyone in the legislature says he wouldn't be harmed, some judge was going to misconstrue the law and put him in prison. And as I said to the pastor, well, that could happen now. The other thing that is interesting to me is that the only time he conceded that there's a difference between harming a victim and a hate crime is when I gave him the example of harming Christians. I gave him the example of harming black people. He wouldn't concede there's any difference between a lynching and a murder. He wouldn't concede there's any difference between, you know, beating up a kid just because kids get in a fight and beating up a kid, a gay kid, and announcing that all, you know, all gay people need to be afraid. He wouldn't concede any of that. But when I gave him the example of Muslims beating up a Christian, then he could understand how his Christian child might be afraid. What it is it's an example of an extremely myopic and nearsighted view where Christians are the only people that matter in the universe. And everyone else can literally just go to hell. Remember, this is a pastor that said that Oprah was leading people to hell because she apparently is not up to his Christian standards. And it's very clear to me that what he wants is to legislate his personal view of the Bible. That's what he wants. He wants theocracy.
Well, he said it flat out when he flat out sat there and said, you know, well, it's a sin, it's wrong, it's et cetera. Well, who the hell are you to make that decision, pastor? And don't sit there and give me that crap.
Self-proclaimed man of the... And the other thing that's interesting, is you notice how he kept making it personal? He kept making it personal, right? I mean, every time I said, but Pastor, the law says this, he said, well, the homosexual activists are going to misconstrue the law and use it wrongly. I'm like, okay, so you don't have a problem with this law, right? You don't have a problem with the actual law that you put yourself out as a guest to oppose. That's how I got this guy. He goes on radio shows all across the country to oppose this law. He doesn't have a problem with the law. He just has a problem with how people might misuse the law. And so when Bob Kincaid comes on the air,
to tell him that he can't say that you got a problem with the fact that people are going to sit there and nail his butt to the wall because he's inciting violence against gay people, or somebody is inciting violence against gay people. That's what he has the freaking problem with. He has a problem with the fact that when people do what they did to Bob's kid, and when people do what they did to me, and what they did to my friend Dave, that they might actually get punished for it. That's what he has a problem with.
You know, I brought up the Ku Klux Klan, and I pointed out, and he didn't want to be compared with the Ku Klux Klan, but I pointed out quite calmly that the Ku Klux Klan preaches extreme hate. And he had to agree with me. The Ku Klux Klan preaches hate. I think it's kind of hard not to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
They preach hate, but no KKKer has ever been put in jail for speech alone. They're only put in jail when speech is combined with violence. And he had to agree with that, too. And he had to agree that this statute has never been misconstrued. But he can't handle criticism. All his complaints were, oh, no, people are criticizing Miss California. Oh, no, people asked that his show be removed from CBS. I wonder why. And when Bob Kincaid comes on, admittedly a bit strongly, but talks very legitimately about an awful thing that happened to his son, who's not gay, but was perceived as gay, he immediately says, oh, Bob, you must be gay. This is a guy who clearly has a personal problem. It's not a problem with the law. Vince, I have to wrap it up here, but I hope Bob will continue in his segment coming on right after the break. But I hope everyone enjoyed the show. I'll be on tomorrow for 2 hours from 5 to 7. Don't miss that. This is Mark Levine signing off.